here we are. We did it. This is the beginning.
No, John. No, that's not the intro. We have to do something better.
Hello. This is we're back. Here it is. Recycle.
Yay.
Wow. Okay. I want to start over, but I just don't have it in me.
I think that's the proper way. The first one was very cold. It was very, oh, hi. But this one had applause to it. Yeah. Everyone was really excited.
We're back. Oh, my God. Everything feels icky now.
What do you mean, icky?
It just feels like deleted? Everything could be taken away. Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. YouTube could realistically just decide that they don't want us on their platform anymore and get rid of us.
Before we started recording, we were talking about the Leafy situation, which is weird because we can't, I mean, I guess we're allowed to talk about it on this one.
But we kind of don't want to, though. I mean, it's not like, it's not like we're afraid to talk about it, but it's just like, what's there to say?
It's not our whorehouse, or what's the saying?
What? What?
What's the saying? It's not.
I don't know.
We can't talk about it. We can't talk about it because it's not our whorehouse.
Wheelhouse?
Wheelhouse, yeah. Is that it?
I don't know. I still am not sure.
That sounds right.
It's not a saying. It's just how you use the word.
So it's not whorehouse?
Let's just leave it as
okay.
Whorehouse.
Welcome to Recycle Bin, everybody. Episode. Do you even know what episode this is? Do we know? Are we aware?
I didn't check, dude.
It's been a while.
It can't be that many, right?
No, probably not. I think it's 20.
No,
it's 21.
That sounds too little.
Hang on. We have technology for this. It is episode. Are you ready for this, Burn?
22?
21. 22. You're right. It's episode 22.
I like how we, like, for the show coming back, we had a whole, like, you pre-recorded a whole intro for it. We made a big deal of it. It was a whole, like, planned thing. This, like, Recycle Bin returned with a whimper. It just eked out like a loose fart.
It's just like in the middle of the day, we just hit a record button and was like, okay, guess this is it. This is the episode.
Yeah, we couldn't be less prepared.
At least we have this. At least no one's going to take it from us. It's not going to be hacked and deleted.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy.
In a weird way, this is how this should be, though, Recycle Bin. I feel like it should be like this.
Go on.
What is that noise?
That was, I have green tea and there's a big fucking chunk of ice in it that just like slammed against the edge of the bottle.
I'll take a drink too then. Since you're taking drinks, I'm going to take a drink.
Yeah, every time you talk, I take a drink.
This new preamp that I have, it's way more like, it's way hotter. So it picks up all the little shit I try to hide in my life.
Yeah.
Like if I swallow too hard.
Ew, dude. That's so gross. That's so gross. I'm right now. I mean, if you've been watching From Page Tech or FPT 404, you've been paying attention at all, you know that I moved. And so currently I'm in, because we're still in the process of moving in. And what is it? What's the company? FlexiSpot is sending. I almost forgot the company's name. FlexiSpot is sending desks, but currently there's nothing in here. So I'm on a box.
Right.
My setup is. And if I talk over here, you can hear the whole room. It's empty.
Oh my God. You're right.
Yeah. It sounds like somebody's moving in, and that somebody is me.
You do have a very nice office, though. It's very comfy. Like the carpeting that when I was down there.
Uh-huh.
Very impressive.
Yeah. I am down now. Huh. Arkansas Pops is down.
Yeah. Oh, have you said where you live yet? Is this new?
On MPT 404, I think I did. I can't remember. Oh. Yeah, I live in Arkansas Pops. I'm going to be best friends with Boogie, 2988.
Okay.
He lives in
Arkansas
Pops.
I draw the line of talking about Leafy.
We already did that, though, so it's fine. Hopefully, at least our channel wasn't deleted because we like made fun of people and violated community guidelines, I guess. We got that going for us. It was deleted.
It was deleted because the hackers violated community guidelines.
Yeah, and the hackers are not us, so fair game.
Or are they?
Dude, I've actually thought about that. Like, I wonder if there's people out there that think that we were the ones that did it. Like, if it was all just faked.
I mean, you believe in a lot of conspiracy theories, I bet. Like, you have to understand that if there could be a conspiracy theory about something, there is.
I'm trying to think of how we could have pulled that off.
It wouldn't be that hard.
But the thing is, not just convincing the audience, we had to have convinced YouTube as well.
All you, but it's all you need is IP addresses. VPNs are a thing. Yeah, that's what the hackers used.
Yeah.
I just smacked my headphones.
I guess so. We could have been the hackers and made $10,000 in Bitcoin and then, quote unquote, deleted the channel on purpose. And then we're like, oh, YouTube, the hackers deleted the channel, and then YouTube brings it back and everything's fine. And we just made a bunch of money in Bitcoin.
You know, that's the weird part is like, okay, I actually understand why one would want to hack into a YouTube channel, live stream from it to promote a Bitcoin scam. I get that part.
Right.
But why, like, they renamed it, got rid of the user picture, deleted all the videos, and like, they're like, oh, we're going to keep it now. Like, what? Really? I mean, you already had a good plan, realistically.
Yeah,
like just, you didn't have to
just
be
do
dumb.
Your shit and get out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird.
And that's just rude.
It's like they stole the car to go rob the bank, but then they just kept the car and then got pulled over.
Well, yeah, kind of. But like, no. But like, when they got pulled over, then they lit it on fire. Because fuck it.
Just like, no, I don't know.
Just like
lit the whole thing on fire.
Oh man.
I don't know. Bernd, would you like to take some voicemails? I don't think there's anything else that really to say. People know what happened. We've explained it multiple times. It sucked. So. But here we are. And Recycle Bin's back. Woohoo. A lot of people, there's like a closet following for Recycle Bin, like a very tight-knit group of people that just always ask about it.
Oh, and yeah. I got a lot of Twitter DMs.
Yeah, that's one of the things that people were asking most about. They're, like when we're doing FPT 404, they're like, okay, that's great, but what about Recycle Bin? Is that coming back?
Yeah.
Like, here it is.
Yeah, and I made sure to respond to every person who Twitter DM'd me about Recycle Bin.
Really?
So
you answered DMs?
I only answer the good ones.
Oh.
Sorry enough. If you haven't had a DM answered.
There you go. That just means you sent the shitty one.
Yeah. Speaking of shitty, let's talk about voicemails.
Okay, let's.
No, I kid.
There's a couple. Actually, not a couple. There's a lot of really good voicemails this week. So we're gonna listen to you guys ask us questions, and then we'll answer them. If you want to call and be on the show, the number is 404-913-4226. You call that. Don't text it. We don't answer text messages. Call it and then leave a voicemail. Ask your question. Try to keep it around 30 seconds. Make it a good question. You might make it on the show. You might not. No promises. Okay. First one.
Hey, Jern, it's Albert from Nashville, Tennessee. Big fan. Thanks for taking my call. Just had a quick question. Curious, what was Jern like before Front Page Tech?
Oh, Jesus.
I haven't had a chance to hear much about, maybe your high school days. Were you in sports? What was life like before the show? And then what got you into tech and tech news? Thanks so much. Bye.
So high school
interesting.
Journey.
This is going to be fun. Do you want to start it off or do you want me to?
I mean, I feel like this is a question for you because
fair enough.
I am Jern.
and you know what? You have a constant like misconception about who you are as a person. So I'd love to phone in. So, okay. Jern before high school. Bit of a cunt.
What? Wait, do you mean Jern in high school?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, during high school, bit of a cunt.
What do you mean?
You would regularly sleep through most classes in high school. You were kind of a dick to most people that weren't me.
I feel like that's still true.
Yes, this is accurate. You just don't happen to see him interact with real life people. He's truly awful to most people. Actually, I don't know if you are anymore. Your old age may have tamed you. Anyway,
not really.
In a way, you started off as quite an annoying little shit when I first met you in school.
Yet here we are.
You were the kid that was in dance and was just, you were constantly turned up to like 11. Like you were just so enthusiastic and just like, you know. And then towards the end of high school, we became friends. But around there, you were into website development and stuff.
I was.
So you were constantly like trying to hawk website stuff like keychains and t-shirts to these random high school kids. And this is pre like this is we grew up in such a weird time where we still had like a lot of old shit circulating. Like I didn't have a fucking cell phone till I was like 16 or something, just because that was the times. So you were the only person who did that in our small school. So like nobody else, you know,
Yeah, I think so, I think in the last episode or maybe an episode before that, it's been a while since we did this show, but we talked about what was it, Geek Basics, and like the T-shirts and stuff, because one of our friends from high school still has a bunch of them. Real weird, but it was.
Dude, this
it
is
going like,
to be so annoying.
It was
to
foreign
to.
Then. People didn't understand. They didn't understand the future.
It's going to be so annoying to listen to this because we it's been so long since we did a podcast. We're going to repeat ourselves. Like I think just did technically, but yeah. Do you want to weigh in? Like, what type of person would you consider? Like, how were you? You know.
It's weird because I feel like me then should have been more scared of the future.
More scared? What does that mean?
Okay. So now I am that person, but I'm that person with a direction, sort of. I sort of know where I'm trying to go. But then I was just cocky for the sake of being cocky and shitty, and just I was just an asshole for the sake of being an asshole with no actual direction. Like, I remember I slept in my classes. I didn't pay attention in school because I was like, I'm not going to go to college. I didn't take any of the tests to try to go or get into a college. And I was just like, I'm going to be my own boss. And that's it. I had no idea of like, I'm going to be my own boss doing this. I was just shitty and an asshole for the sake of it. And luck happened where that ended up working out for me.
You know, that kind of makes sense that you say that. I never thought of it from that angle, but that really adds up because you were definitely like a big fish in a small pond in our high school. We went to a country ass high school. There was not a lot going on. So
we graduated with what, like 22 people?
Something like that. Yeah, it was very small. So
very small.
Yeah. Okay. But that was a good question. I liked it.
That was me before Front Page Tech. Yay.
He was shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's this.
Hey, my name is Joel and I'm from the Bronx. And I want to know if you ever regret, you know, being well known. Slash famous.
Huh.
Funny that you say that after we just got through a hacking scandal and you've been doxxed multiple times.
Yeah. this is an interesting one. Good. Bern, I'll start with you. Do you regret it? Are there days where you regret being, I don't like the word famous, but do you regret being well known?
Do I regret me being well known or you being well known?
Because like what we built.
Not at all. Especially, well, we talked about this before, is that I have a different relationship with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I started it off very picky and choosy and closed off. So it's been that way. So I feel like I have a very different experience than you do, which is a good thing.
Days where you regret it or moments?
No, because I still feel like I have only like, I feel like you're in the deep end of the swimming pool swimming around like, you know, in 12 foot deep water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like hanging out in the shallow end with like my feet in, being like, yeah, I'm cool here. I could jump in whenever I want, but I'm cool. That's what I feel like. So
I do regret it sometimes. Not as a whole.
I do regret.
Yeah. Actually, I do. This is my last episode.
What do you regret?
Not like,
what about it rather?
Not in general or as a whole, but there are some moments or days where it's not as fun.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the day where you get doxxed, or the day where you're days where there's just a lot of noise in general and you're the target of all of it. I feel like everything we do is like under a microscope a lot of the times. And so
you
have less room to fuck up. And then when you do fuck up, it's like it's terrible. For example, I don't even think I told you this, Bern, for like a month. Yeah, I want to say, because last week I put the Twitter app back on my home screen on my phone. I had taken it off.
Wow.
Because I have a habit of just picking up my phone and then unlocking it with no, like, I don't know where I'm going to go next.
That's everybody nowadays.
Yeah, but it's just like a habit to hit the Twitter icon and open it. And I was just getting a lot of fucking noise and shittiness and people were being shitty. Right. And so for like a good month, I just didn't have the Twitter app. I just removed it from my home screens on my phone so that I wouldn't just accidentally open it. Because there were times where I would sort of forget about all the noise that was going on, accidentally open Twitter, and then like expose myself to all that bullshit again. And then it would trigger the sadness. So I would So instead, I just removed it so I didn't accidentally do that to myself. And those are the times where I do regret it. It's mostly good things. Mostly good things come with all of this, and it's nice and wonderful. And there are a lot of benefits to it. But there are days where you are a human and the internet doesn't let you be a human, and then you just get sad.
I think one of the things that, like, one of the reasons you feel that way, or rather, like, one of the reasons you get the hate you do is, like, the business we're in a sense. Like, back before Front Page Tech was, like, a place for credible information, it was just funny, haha, fart show.
yeah, funny, and ha-ha, it still
is
that.
Like the show is that, but it has these little nuggets. Like even in the episode we just posted, where we came back 981. You actually put like a quote unquote exclusive in there.
Yeah.
So like, there's reason for people to watch it, and like now you have something that these shitty people online want from you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to like get it out of you any way they fucking can.
Yeah.
They just squeeze you like a little fruit.
And like, while we were gone, just like the articles that were being written about me were just goofy and silly. Like
where did he go?
And yeah, like John Prosser vanishes. There was a whole podcast, a Cult of Mac podcast about me vanishing. Crazy. And like, or what was it? Macworld wrote an article like, how can, I can't even say the
Prostradamus
word.
Prostradamus or some shit like that.
Prostradamus, come back from iPhone OS era.
What the fuck?
Like, while we were gone around WWDC, I put out a tweet saying that iOS was going to be renamed iPhone OS, and that ended up being wrong from a software source that has now been axed. I don't talk to them or communicate with them anymore.
Yeah.
Because that fucks with my reputation. So.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how, like, no matter how many things you get right or what on paper your track record actually is, people don't look at that. They don't care. And, like, when I was trying to, I had leaked the iMac stuff. It was like, iMac coming out in August, no redesign. And even the day that it was coming out, I was like, new iMac today. And people were like, oh, coming from the same guy that gave us iPhone OS. It's like, okay, whatever. I guess we're not, you know, taking into consideration all the other shit. It's just the thing that I got wrong. And there's a whole article about it. Like, how can he come back from this crazy error? It's fucking nuts. I hate, that's the part I hate. And also getting swatted. That sucks.
And
I think we briefly talked about it. Like, there was an article that nobody asked for. I didn't ask for it. It was a Cult of Mac article that was, I think the title was, Is John Prosser the New Mark Gurman? And it was a whole article just like beefing us up against each other.
Which
we
is
didn't
not
ask
true.
For that shit.
Yeah, there's no beef there.
Yeah, it's weird. But, you know, people got to get their clicks and it works. And so good for them, I guess. I guess that's, I don't know, that we should look at that as a cool thing that people can use us for their ad dollars on their website. I don't know.
Well, apparently you don't. I mean, fairly.
Yeah, it's, yeah, fuck them.
Good question, Joel.
That was a really good question. I don't regret it as a whole, but there are days where you're like, maybe I should just be a mailman.
Maybe not, dude. It might go away.
Okay.
Anyway.
Hi, my name is Ben, and I just wanted to call in to say I really love the Recycle Bin show. I love the Front Page Tech show. And John, you have brought me great times of laughter.
Aww.
And burn. I aspire to edit like you one day.
Oh, that's
all right,
sad.
Thank you. If you do hear this message, thank you.
Oh, that was so nice. I don't regret it. I don't regret anything anymore.
You know, it was very nice, and it sounded nice, and it felt good, but it's a little lessened by the fact that I know you vet the voicemails before we listen to them, so you, like, chose the nice feeling one out of
it. Well, he said it because he said, well, he aspires to be like Burn.
No, that was nice of him. I appreciate that.
When I put the clips in here, I titled them so I sort of know what I'm about to click on. And I just titled that one Super Nice.
that was really nice. That was Thank it. You. Very right. kind words.
Okay, Bern, enjoy this one because I can't fucking live this shit down.
Hey, Jern. My name's Lauren from Michigan. And I was wondering, what kind of mayo do you use on your mayo banana sandwich?
Yes.
Because I'm sure that changes the flavor. Thanks. Bye.
Very true. You know, because like sometimes you can get like a light mayo.
I hate you all.
Hellman's makes a mayonnaise that has olive oil in it. So it has a nice, like, different, robust flavor. So you've got to try that. You know, speaking of the sandwich, specifically, the bread, bananas, mayonnaise, and then bread. So, the banana mayo sandwich. Have you told Karina about that?
Oh, yeah. Karina knows about the banana mayo sandwich.
What did you think about it?
I had her try it, like, a long time ago.
You fucking did?
Yeah. I think she was... She poo-pooed on it and then ended up being like, oh, it's actually pretty good. Have you ever had one, Burn?
No. Why? Why would I do that?
Okay, there you go. For Burn and for anyone listening who likes to call in and talk shit, how about you try it, huh? Try a sandwich, try a banana mayo sandwich, and then come to me.
You know, John, I don't have to taste shit to know I'm looking at shit.
Yes,
like,
you do.
I don't need a dude on my desk. To kneeling with his sphincter facing my mouth and me going, I don't want to eat this. And him going, you don't even know. You haven't even tried it yet. I know it's going to be shit.
It's not the same.
Okay.
Because I will explain. Because you know, as a general rule, the assholes probably don't taste good. They're not pleasant. It's not something that you want. It's not something when you're hungry, just like, you know what tastes good right now? A good, juicy asshole.
A good anus.
Just a fucking asshole. But bananas taste good. Bread tastes good. Mayonnaise tastes good sometimes. And then you're like, okay, well, if I put them all together, and then they're delicious.
I like how even you are like, mayo is good sometimes. So you're not even 100% on the one ingredient.
No, but listen, that's what I'm saying. Do you like bananas, Burn?
Yeah.
Do you like bread?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on mayo?
Sometimes.
Okay. So sometimes make a banana mayo sandwich and tell me how. Okay, can we do that for next week, Burn? Can this be like the thing that people look forward to next week? Can you?
An audio sandwich tasting?
We don't even have to do it live. I just want to know that at some point during the week, you try it.
You're going to make me go buy bananas. For this,
I will. Do you have Instacart or Walmart or something? I will have somebody deliver the ingredients.
They're going to think I'm a serial killer.
I want rope and bananas and mayonnaise. Burn, will you try it for next week?
I don't even want to say yes because it's so gross.
You have to. It's not gross.
I don't wanna.
You have to try it.
Oh, fuck. Okay. God damn it.
Yes. Okay. I challenge anybody listening right now, send us a video of you trying it. Let us know what you think about the banana mayo sandwich. It's funny because we've never talked about this on Twitter. We've never talked about this on the show, on the YouTube channel. And I can't live this down just because you said some bullshit on a podcast.
Thank you, Lauren.
God.
For remembering.
This is the worst. I'm telling you, it's not bad. It tastes good.
Oh.
Light mayo, Burn. Don't get too crazy.
It's a light mayo light mayonnaise?
I will explain. No.
Or like less than a normal amount.
Yes, less than normal amount.
Okay.
You wanna just hug the banana with the mayo.
You know what's real quick, before you explain, this could be like better. Like, because using mayonnaise as a toasting ingredient for like grilled cheese, like you butter the outside with mayonnaise.
No, absolutely do not toast it.
But I'm just saying, but like you could make this into a proper food item.
Nobody said banana mayo toast.
You could even use plantains instead of banana, and you might even like create a delicacy.
Nah. You want it soft and gooey.
Dude.
Almost passed out. You ever laugh so hard so fast?
I wish I ate something disgusting that I could make you eat now.
Okay, is anything come to your mind that I can try for next week?
You know, I have to think about it, but the only thing that came to mind, and it's not gross to me. It's just like a thing a little kid me used to do, and I have like memories of it, kind of like your banana mayo sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Is I used to, in the mornings with my mom, we'd wake up at the same time real early on the weekends, and she'd have her cup of coffee, I'd have a little cup of coffee, and we'd each have toast. And I like peanut butter toast, just peanut butter on toast. And I would quickly, like not long enough to make it soggy, just quickly dunk the toast in the coffee and eat it.
That's not bad. That's, I mean, thinking of like soggy ass bread makes me want to vomit, but.
No, that's why you do it really quick. So the toast is still kind of crunchy and it just has a nice coffee. Yeah, that's all I got. I don't really have. I'm not a disgusting, fucking nasty human, Jordan. I don't eat banana.
Yeah, textures are a big thing for me. And when I would get sick, my grandma would. I'm gonna throw up.
Keep going. Do it. Keep going.
My grandma would put a plate down. Put a single piece of toast. Right. Single piece of toast.
Yeah.
Put sugar on the toast. I can't do it.
And then what?
I can't.
She put
she plate toast, sugar on the toast, and then dump milk on it.
I've
dump milk
that.
On it. And just call it milk toast.
John, listen to me. Listen.
It's supposed to help you when you're sick. Listen. I don't know how. Probably because it helps you throw up faster.
Okay, I'm gonna do a banana mayo sandwich, and you need to have milk toast.
That's not fair. Now you're just trying to get me to throw up on the show.
Kind of. But
okay,
Brian.
Listen, I will make you. I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
I need to take a drink. Next week. Live on Recycle Bin, the tech show, remember.
Right.
You're going to try a banana mayo sandwich on the show.
Uh-huh.
And I will have milk toast.
I obviously am okay with this. I just wish there was a visual component to it now.
I don't. Oh, just the memory that makes me want to throw up everywhere. Wet bread is a gross texture. It's so bad. Okay, we should move on.
Yeah.
With that said, we're going to go do an ad break.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Everybody, enjoy the ad break and spend money. Thanks. Listen, it's 2020. You don't need us, a tech podcast, to explain to you what a VPN is and why you should use one. What you need us to tell you is which VPN to use. WeVPN was made by a group of VPN veterans that decided to jump ship to start their own company. One that gives you exactly what you need, covers you across all of your devices without any misleading promotions or prices. For just $2.49 a month, that's $2.49 a month, across all of your devices, you get access to a VPN that focuses on simplicity and speed. Like, no joke, it is by far the fastest VPN I have ever used. Don't know how to do it? Pretty sure there's witchcraft involved. Our challenge to you is, even if you already have a VPN, it's time to drop that one and give WeVPN a try. That's how much we believe in what they're doing. To get started and to learn more, it's real simple. Down in the show notes, you'll find a link. Just go to wevpn.com. That's wevpn.com/recyclebin. Again, a link down in the show notes. Click that to get started today. And of course, a huge thanks to our friends over at WeVPN for supporting this show. And we're back. Welcome back to the show. I have recovered, sort of. Took a few minutes.
I'm still teary-eyed laughing.
To recover from that.
Oh, my God.
Ad breaks are nice. We're going to start doing that so we just take a second to breathe and not vomit. Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Next voicemail. Let's jump into it.
Hey, my name is Nathan Fitzwilliam. I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Not going to tell you where, obviously. But I was actually wanting to ask you, do you think it'll be at all possible that Android manufacturers will support their phones and devices for more than 3 years? And if not, what do you think has to change on either Google's or Samsung's or LG's end to make sure that they do support them for longer than 3 years, because that's the one thing I actually appreciate Apple for. Otherwise, I despise that company. Thank you, and if I make it on the show, hi, Mom.
Hello to his mom.
Hello, Mom.
That's an interesting question, because a lot has to happen. Because in its current state, the process of Android updates is so messy, and that's the problem. That's the real issue.
I can't see that being, and like, not only is the process messy, but also like, okay, Apple kind of has it good because they only have a couple major phone releases every year, right? Mm-hmm. And there's only a handful of product lines within that yearly cycle. But like, Samsung and LG are releasing shit fucking constantly.
Dude, last and year Samsung also, put like, out like 57 phones. That's not an exaggeration.
And they're also, they're all in varying price points and different qualities. And, you know, like, it's a miracle they can support them at all, to be honest.
Yeah. And you got to think about how that goes down the line, because you have Google putting out Android.
Right.
That then these manufacturers get. And it'd be one thing if they just slapped it into the phone and released the phones. Then they could always push updates. But that's not what happens.
They got to put their shit on it.
Yeah. They, they have to modify it, fuck it all up. And then
fuck it all
and then the carriers get it, and then it goes over the air. It's a fucking disaster that will never work.
Yeah.
In order,
no, I can't see that happening.
That is the beauty of somebody controlling both software and hardware. That's what you get. But when you have everybody like just shitting in a pile and being like, okay, Verizon, please send this out to the phones.
Come get your scoop.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't work that way. I'm surprised they even get 3 years of updates.
I know, I agree with you. And it's like, there's only certain companies that are able to provide kind of close to the Apple standard. And that would, you know, as much as we meme on them, the Pixel devices, and then I wouldn't, maybe not to a lesser extent, but less so than is a OnePlus, I would say.
Because OnePlus is great.
The way they handle their OS.
Like,
so,
as much as we make fun of Pixel devices, they are the phones, at least for Android, that matter the most every year. Fuck your Huawei P90X or Samsung Note 20 Ultra, whatever. The phones that matter the most are Pixels, not because people buy them, but because they force the manufacturers to, especially with those updates. Like, the people making fun of the Pixels are also the people being like, oh my God, I'm so glad OnePlus gives me updates so fast. That's why. The cameras are improving, that you're getting updates faster and being supported for longer, because Google is sort of being the tastemaker and showing what they believe should happen. And if people can turn around all the time and be like, man, those Pixels are supported for a long time and getting updates really fast, I'll leave my OnePlus phone and look at a Pixel. Of course, OnePlus is going to be like, I don't know, maybe we can get it out a couple months sooner. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always going to be this sort of divide, you know, between the two, like, sides, sadly.
Yeah, and also you got to think about, like, what is it worth for the companies to put that many resources into? Like, some Samsung phones are like $40 goddamn. It's like,
exactly.
It's
why?
It's not worth them to like put any resource or effort into supporting those phones when they could just tell you go buy another $40 phone next year.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the amount of people holding on to those more budget phones for even more than 2 years is, it has to be crazy low. I mean, they're also like made of cheap material, so they might not even like hardware wise survive.
It's not even worth it. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, he asked what it would take. It would take a lot of cooperation from all the way down the line. Like,
it would take a massive restructuring of the entire
Google's doing their part. And believe it or not, it has gotten better. I don't know if you remember this, Bern, but there was a shift in focus where Google, instead of relying so, because security was becoming a major issue because everyone was so slow to update software and push it to the devices, that Google sort of shifted focus, and they knew they couldn't get manufacturers to update the software quick enough. So instead, Google started putting more emphasis on Google-related apps that Google could update themselves.
Like the Play Store and things like that.
Yeah. So Google sort of put more weight into the apps and services that Google offers because they can control the updates there.
That was a good idea.
Yeah, but in terms of Android, it's such a mess right now, and I don't see it. I mean, it is getting better, but I don't ever see it being, you know, anywhere near how Apple handles iOS on iPhones, ever.
Yeah, and, you know, not that Apple, like, they do a pretty good job, but they could even still be better. So, like, there really isn't a gold standard anyway.
All right, let's do the next one.
Hey, Jern. Hey, Bern. This is Trevor. I have a simple question for you guys. You know, you have some of these leakers that have gone to the greatest school. They get the best degree. They have these awesome jobs as executives at Apple. They have risked so much just to give you guys some, you know, to tell you what day the new iMac is coming out. Why are these guys risking their entire careers and their lives, livelihood of their families and everything, just to give you guys a date or information about a upcoming folding phone? Anyway, happy you guys are back. Toilet Squad for life. Later.
Toilet Squad for life.
Yeah, that's a, you know, that's a great question, and that's something
a very,
like,
good question.
I think about that a lot, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and it's a weird question for us to answer. I feel like we should get, I wonder if there's a way to, like, get a source on that would in no way incriminate them to answer a question.
We
like
could
that.
Use a voice changer, like we the could. Like the old crime
like
show
Dateline.
Yes, I'm him. Then I.
That's interesting. I wonder if we could get somebody on to sort of explain their reasoning. I mean, if we got to be the ones to answer it.
Well, I guess it's because we don't really know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can only really speculate, and it's, my brain goes to a couple places, and it's just like the thrill of it, and like to say fuck the company, and then for their, like, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of fame, I would think, like, to know that they put it out there, right?
Yeah. Like, we've talked about it before, even though, like, Front Page Tech or John Prosser, those are the names in the articles, the sources, the independent sources, know that it was them that, like, sort of dominated the news cycle that day or that week, especially for Apple stuff. But it really depends on, I suppose some of them have a lot to give up, but some of them don't. Like, it depends on the hierarchy of the company and where they sit in it. Like, there are people lower level supply chain stuff. Right. That it doesn't matter. So, like, there's so many people there that it could be anybody giving the information.
And exactly.
It's harder to track down. And even if they did track them down, it's just like, whatever, I'll go work for HP or some shit.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
But, like, specifically with dates, that's a tricky one. Like, people, you know, we've been almost every major product release this year, we have given the dates for. And told you the day of release. That's a tougher one to answer, because answering that question would pinpoint where that information is coming from. Mm-hmm. It's definitely more, that information is obviously, there's more on the line, there's more to risk there. And I don't know the reasoning why we would get that information, other than it's just, you know, they're just as much a part of the leak culture as we are, and there are people that would read articles about any leak, and it's just a benefit that they can get the information out. They can be, they're just obsessed with getting this stuff early, just like the rest of us. And it's just cool that they get to be the ones that do it. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, in a way, like I can see it from the whole, like, it's the excitement point of view as well. Like, just the doing it because it's a risk in that sense.
Right.
It just, I mean, personally, I wouldn't, if I was like, like a high up supply, even like a high up supply chain guy, I'd be like,
well, okay,
whatever.
Bern, you might not remember this, but you used to work at Best Buy and have some information early, and you really were not about ever, you know, posting that or using that to our advantage, because it was just scary.
I didn't want to lose my fucking job.
Right.
It wasn't worth it to me. There was times, like, I would send you stuff. Like, I actually got, like, a physical hands-on with the first generation Surface Book, like, weeks before it came out. We got sent to our store, and I got to play with it, and, you know. So, I got pictures and video of it and all that stuff. But I didn't, like, do anything with it. It was just more like, this is cool. Like, you know.
Yeah. I think that's coming from the person that was also a part of this channel. Like, you, if
you're right,
of anyone to give the information early, it would have benefited you the most.
Right. And like, it's really kind of like scary to think how much personal information can be in even like simple things you say. Like, even while we're talking about this, I'm kind of like trying to mull over like how we could have a source on the podcast. And I'm just like, fuck, even their like the way they pronounce stuff would like give away information. Yep.
Like, even with a voice changer, or the things they say could like,
right,
you know, pinpoint the department they're in. It's just so,
yeah,
so risky.
Well, like, exactly. Like, if they happen to use, like, we use stupid words, like you said, Arkans Pops. Like, if they said a stupid word, their buddy listening could be like, oh, that's Jim.
Yeah.
That's Jim.
Yeah.
And like, there, so, Jim's dead.
Yeah. It's been really interesting because we've had that happen before. One of the sources, this was a while ago. This wasn't even Apple related stuff. I can't remember what phone it was. It was one that didn't matter that much. It was like a year ago, maybe. We published information, and a fan who was following was like, weird, like, we got that information. The company he was in, he's like, we got that information. And he texted his friend, the friend that gave me the information. He's like, it's weird that John knows this too. And the guy actually came clean and was like, I told him. But it's weird because like there was the source, but then his friend that also worked at that company also happened to follow me.
That's,
yeah, it's like, really weird.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. I wonder how many people, like, you know, like the scale has gone up quite a bit in a year.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people that are on, like, I don't know, I'm not like on some sort of Apple team somewhere are like, I know it's this guy, or like,
yeah,
like, I know it's from this team. I'm trying to like track it down.
Oh, yeah.
That's so weird.
There are sources that know each other and know of each other that are still quiet. And there's like an understanding there, but you're right. There's always people that aren't like that.
Right.
And that would be willing to give you up. It's crazy risky. And when you worked at Best Buy, you had the information and you were the person that if you took a risk on it, it could benefit you the most. This is a completely different situation where they're just giving the information to somebody else that it benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow.
It's crazy. I would love to get, like, maybe I could get somebody to answer the question just in text form and I could read it.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that, and maybe I know this would fuck with the validity of it, but like if there was in text form and then you like rewrote it in your own words, that would.
Yeah, I would like to get that question answered. We just got to be careful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Real careful.
Sorry, this turned into like a weird brainstormy moment of the podcast.
That was a really good
really
question.
Interesting. We're kind of excited about this
good
idea.
Good questions
I think.
These week. Good questions these week.
Can't even speak.
Okay. Here's another one.
Hi, my name's Joey Dodato. I was wondering what your thoughts are on the Apple Silicon transition and how it could affect Windows PC as a whole. And could this be the death of Intel and AMD processors if they don't make a move quick? Thank you. I'm from Connecticut.
I want a clarification. Did he say he's speaking about like Apple entering the processor game?
Yeah. So in terms of Apple creating their own silicone with
right, that's what I thought.
The ARM transition, is that bad news for Windows PCs? Does it mean the death for Intel and AMD?
Hmm. You know what? I got to be honest. I don't know if I have a level of knowledge to reliably like speak on that.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, I think the more interesting answer comes from a developer's perspective, because
I would think so.
A lot of focus is okay, just in terms of apps, mobile apps. There's a lot of focus and emphasis on iOS apps as a priority over Android apps. That's just how it is.
Right.
Mostly because if you jump into the iOS ecosystem as a developer, whatever app that you develop, it's going to be a pretty consistent experience across the board on everyone's device, because we've already talked about that. With Android, you know, you got to prepare and develop for a bunch of different devices at different sizes, different price points. It's a whole fucking thing. And I'd imagine it's the same way with macOS. Like there are, we'll use Adobe for example, as an example, like Adobe, mm-hmm. I know because of WWDC, they're preparing their apps to run on ARM now.
Right.
So what does that mean? Will there be a priority to develop for ARM over, you know, Intel or AMD? And what if the priority and focus is on programming and developing for macOS, then what does Windows suffer because just of the attention that's put onto macOS?
You know what? I think if this question was asked maybe 10 to 15 years ago, I think it would be a more clear cut, like, yes, mm-hmm. this would harm Windows and like it would harm Intel and AMD. However, there's been such a like shakeup in the market with AMD providing like comparable things to Intel and in some cases much uh-huh. better stuff. So I think because of that, because of the market shakeup, I don't think it's such a clear answer. I don't think it'd make that big of an impact, like at least initially.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
I think there's always that's like saying, you know, the new MacBook came out. Do you think that means death for Windows? There's always a market for Windows machines. There will always be a market, I would assume. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, there's always a chance for Intel and AMD to still thrive in that market. I'm sure they'll suffer because, you know, now there's not two different platforms depending on them. Now there's just sort of one. But,
right.
Or I guess you could count Linux too, but they'll suffer. But I mean, I think that it'll be made up for, and there's always going to be a market for Intel and AMD in Windows machines. So
definitely. And the reason I said like they gave that time frame of 10 to 15 years ago was because of like back then it was, if you were looking to do professional work on a computer device or artistic work, it was like, you got a Mac. That was just how it was.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, you know, due to the easily accessible, much cheaper, effective processors and things like that, you know, yeah, I don't think the market's grown so much. And like, even Apple, in a way, has like let their own computer side of things like dwindle. You know what I mean? Like, they're keeping it alive and it's clearly a focus, but compared to like iPad and Apple Watch and accessories.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even close. So,
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's definitely not the death of Intel and AMD. They will suffer. I think they'll suffer initially because it'll be like a shock of suddenly we're not developing for that platform anymore.
Uh-huh.
But in the end, I think everything it'll balance itself out. And as long as people are buying Windows machines, then Intel and AMD are fine, I would assume.
Yeah, like AMD getting so good was a net positive to the consumer, you know, for the market. The same thing could happen, you know, with Apple.
Yeah.
Like that could be a nice kick in the
pants. AMD is a bigger threat to Intel than Apple going ARM.
Oh, yeah. So. We've seen that over the past couple of years. Yeah.
All right.
Good question.
Next, Juan.
Hell from go. Connecticut, too.
Hey, John. I'm Shiloh from Michigan. And I was wondering if you had any tips for people who wanted to get to the tech video industry, what you would say to them, or if it's even possible to enter that space now on YouTube with it being so competitive, and what your thoughts on the whole tech genre is. That's all. Have a great day.
Well, if I
don't do it,
did you have anything ready to say?
Yeah, don't do it.
Okay. I have some more tangible advice.
Go ahead.
First of all, there's never actually any competition. Don't look at it as competition. There's no competition on YouTube. Like, not really.
Yeah.
Not unless you're
that's
like,
fair.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even us, like, we would still have an audience if we didn't leak stuff.
Yeah, that's like us saying we can't make Front Page Tech because, you know, Linus makes Tech Linked or Pocket Now has Pocket Now Daily.
Yeah, so I would change that mindset and instead focus on if you feel that you can provide something to people who you know would be watching you. So that's my biggest thing. And the reason that I don't really do a lot of content by myself is I don't think I got much to say, man. You know, nothing wrong with
that's
that.
That's sad, Burn.
No, it's not. No, I've mentioned this before, but I think, and this isn't a negative, not really, but like, let me say this.
Okay.
I think for people to want to be on YouTube and in general, be on social media in like the center of attention mm-hmm. on Twitch, whatever, I think you need to have an air of, what's the word? There's, I'm looking for the non-negative version of this word, but like self-importance, right?
Okay.
You know, you need to feel as though your voice needs to be heard, mm-hmm. right? And that goes into like making content. You need to want to provide something or feel you can provide something to where there either might not be something or you think you could do something better.
Yeah.
So if you don't think that, it might not be the best thing to do. Or it could just be a fun creative exercise. Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be a career.
The whole thing, your why is what depends the most. And I joked about don't do it, but that was because we're making jokes about regretting being known earlier. Yeah. But if you were just like, I don't know, I want to make stuff. Okay. Would it be fun to like flex your creative muscles and just like make a video and then just save it on your hard drive? Would you be happy that you made it for yourself? Or are you making it for people to watch? Because if you're making it for people to watch, then you gotta answer a question and actually be honest with yourself, like, why would they watch me? And if you don't know the answer, then you're probably starting on the wrong foot.
True.
If you expect to capture anybody's time and attention, hopefully you're doing it because you think that whatever you're putting out there deserves their time or attention. And if you're just being another MKBHD or whatever, or like, I guess our show is a good example. Like Front Page Tech, there are other tech news shows. Mm-hmm. Luckily enough, who knows how many there are online. Luckily enough, we're what I'd say the top three online right now.
Probably,
in terms of tech news shows.
Wow, that's fucking weird.
But if you think about it, a viewer could watch all three of those shows in the same day. Like, yeah,
totally.
Because you watch TechLinked, it doesn't mean you can't watch Front Page Tech now, because it's not just the information you're after. Number one, TechLinked gives you different information than we choose to give you every day. We care about different things. It's a different type of content, and it's also a different type of delivery. So exactly. You could be a viewer that watches Pocket Now Daily, TechLinked, and Front Page Tech every day, and we don't see that as competition. We think there's a value in our show, and we hope that, you know, we attract the viewers to see the value in the show. But there's probably a lot of people that just like, they see Front Page Tech and they're like, I want to make that. And so they start making Front Page Tech, in which case, like, you aren't earning anybody's time. You're just doing it for you. And so once you figure out why you want to do it and who you want to do it for, I think that's the easiest path forward. And I lied when I said don't do it. Do it if you want. But just do it for the right reasons. That's all.
Yeah, and you know, now's a pretty good fucking time to get into stuff with quarantine shit and
everyone's stuck at home, yeah.
Yeah, all the tools are super easy to use and good. Like
before shit hit the fan for us the last couple months, this can be fucked up to say. But in the history of our YouTube career and like our careers in general, Burn, I think coronavirus was the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of creators could say that, frankly.
Because everyone's stuck at home and everyone's watching. And so that's just right now is a tough time for a lot of people, not us.
Yeah. We're kind of entertainment is always kind of essential. So there's that.
So, yeah, if you're, like Burn said, if you're going to do it, now's the time. Pop out your webcam.
Yeah. Pop out your webcam, not your peenie.
All right. Speaking of peenies.
What?
Hi. Good evening. How you doing, Jern? Congrats from returning back to your show. My name is Paul Bundy. I'm calling from Miami, Florida. Quick question. Since Phil Schiller has stepped down as Senior Vice President of Marketing, do you think there might be any chance where in this upcoming iPhone event, he might make a stage time and present the new products, including iPhone? Hopefully he will. Well, we hope we get Phil Schiller back. All right. Well, congrats to you coming back. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's a good one, too.
Did he say Paul Bettany? Like the actor?
I don't know.
Like the guy who plays Vision in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
So if you missed it, this it's so weird because we weren't making a show when this happened, mm-hmm. but Phil Schiller stepped down.
Right.
As senior VP of marketing, who he's the one to block me on Twitter.
it's in your bio. That's how proud of it you are.
Yeah. He's an Apple fellow now. He has ascended. He's
okay.
It's not quite retirement, but it's close.
He's dead.
Yeah. He's dead now. That just means his day-to-day duties are different now. Uh-huh. He's not head of marketing fulfilling those day-to-day duties anymore. It doesn't mean that he won't step on stage and introduce a product or be part of the keynotes anymore. He will very likely do that still. I don't know to what extent or for how long, but that title is for his day-to-day stuff. It's more than just, you know, keynotes. Just because you step down from VP of marketing, you know, the keynotes weren't his only job.
Or rather, the keynotes aren't the VP of marketing's job.
Right. Yeah. So him being on stage and presenting isn't just because of his job title. It's because he, for whatever reason, they feel he's good on stage, introducing products that he's proud of or passionate about.
He's good.
He's no Craig Federighi. He's no Air Force One.
Yeah.
But I will take it. So I'm sure we'll see him on stage multiple times throughout the years. It's just his day-to-day duties at the company will be different now, and he'll probably have less to deal with. Well, hopefully, because I'm sure that he was just fucking hating himself in the office with all these leakers now just ruining the whole marketing thing.
Hence why you're blocked.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of leakers, have you been paying attention to what's going on Twitter, Byrne?
Refresh my memory.
So I have, we're at the end of the show, so this is not a good thing to talk about at the very end.
Okay.
But I have started this really weird trend. So specifically after the iPhone SE thing,
mm-hmm.
There were Apple leakers or people that leaked Apple information before me, obviously. Uh-huh. Been around forever. But for some reason, after what happened with our YouTube channel and my Twitter with the iPhone SE stuff, there has just been a shit ton of Apple leakers that have popped up on Twitter. I use leakers really loosely because I think out of like eight, there's like a bunch of Twitter leakers that have like anime names or just weird ass Twitter handles that just give information or pretend to give information. I think there's like eight right now, and maybe two have actually given any viable information at all. Mm-hmm. And the others are just sort of, I don't know, just lying, or their children. I don't know. It's really weird. Even when I'm like, oh no, Jern, you didn't do this. You didn't cause this. Their fucking bios are pretty much just copy and paste of mine. Like, got info for me? DMs are open. Just weird, just like very specific copy and paste of my shit.
Huh.
And I feel slightly responsible because it's such a goddamn mess. And all these Apple bloggers or news websites will pick up any of it. It's a fucking nightmare. Like there was a couple weeks ago when we were driving here to Arkansas, we were in the car, and that was the day the iMac was coming out.
Oh, right.
And so I had sources being like, iMac coming out within the hour or whatever. And one of these Apple leakers that day had also been like pushing this other information that there was an iMac coming on August 28th. He's like, the iMac is coming on August 28th. But previously he said it was coming the last week of September. But then when I said it was coming in August, he deleted that tweet. And then all of a sudden he's like, new iMac coming August 28th. And that was the day I knew it was coming out that day. So I'm like, uh-huh. Obviously he doesn't know shit. And the iMac came out and he deleted that tweet. But by that time, news websites had written about it. It's like, even with zero track record, it's amazing that with us, you know, the media was pushing back at us so much, being like, mm-hmm. No, don't believe him, don't believe him. But if you fucking put an anime picture as your profile picture on Twitter and you're like Apple Leaker 1000, they're like, okay, new iMac is coming on August 28th because this guy said it. with three followers.
Listen, our success is never determined by the media websites. Let them fuck up their credibility all they want.
You're right. It's a fucking, it's a nightmare. Because then all day on Twitter, the people are like, John, it is disbelievable. Do you trust this? Can you confirm this? No, I don't even know who these people are. And every day there's a new one.
Well, it's a good thing you were already ignoring Twitter.
Yeah, good thing. You are why I delete it. Assholes.
Exactly.
I think there's one more. You want to do one more question?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, it's fucking, it's about an iMac. Great.
Hi, I'm Ian from New York City. And I'm wondering, since Apple just updated the whole 27-inch iMac with new processors and new features, but they kind of left the 21.5-inch in the dust, does that mean an ARM iMac that is like 24-inch or 23-inch is coming out soon? Or is Apple really sticking to laptops right now? Thank you.
Thank you. Interesting question. Okay, news websites, fucking heat up your keyboards.
Oh, is this going to be a Jern Purser exclusive?
Well, I mean, to answer that question, from what I know, I don't know if it's coming anytime soon, but from what I know, the first two ARM machines, like part of the transition, is a 13.3-inch MacBook Pro, and then that iMac. I don't know if it's going to be 23, 24 inches, but an iMac with Apple Silicon in it, part of the ARM transition, that is part of the game plan. So just, at least from what I know, the first two things starting out will be that MacBook Pro and that iMac. I don't know if they're coming at the same time. I know that the MacBook Pro is coming first. That is going to be the first machine running ARM. It'll, again, that 13.3-inch MacBook Pro, I don't know exactly when it's coming, but that'll be first. I don't know if we'll see that announced with an iMac alongside it. I doubt it, but that's currently the plan. So yeah, that's sort of why it was left and not updated. The iMac update that we got like last week or the week before, it was kind of meh. Just another spec bump for people to buy another fucking iMac and keep them at bay, I guess, while they work on the bigger transition. But that's what we'll be getting. I don't know when. I don't know if it would be by the end of the year. Maybe. I think Kuo, Ming-Chi Kuo, said that we'd be getting an ARM MacBook Pro by the end of 2020. We'll see. I don't know. That's Kuo. He said that, not me. I don't know. I don't know. I don't actually know. That's it. That's the show, everybody. Hey. You got anything to say, Burn?
Spay and neuter your pets.
Spay and neuter your pets. Also, Burn, next week, don't you forget your ingredients.
Dude, I don't even care anymore. Don't forget your ingredients, motherfucker.
Oh my God. I won't forget bread, sugar, and milk. I'm going to throw up on the show. It's going to be terrible.
Imagine that in your head for a second. Think about what it's going to look like.
Okay, we got to go, everybody. See you next week. Oh, God, I'm not going to make it. What? That's going to be a terrible show. I hope I get sick and can't record.
a lot of ad breaks.
I'm going to go outside and tell everyone with a mask to cough in my mouth.
Oh, God.
Would I take Rona over milk bread? I think I would.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Oh, you hear Very you guys well. Next week. Whatever. It's a fucking audio show. You won't see shit. Okay, bye.
Listen.